Okay, it's a very important conversation that's underway at this particular time. As you heard at the beginning of the show, the United States is the first and I think only country where its national men's and women's teams are now paid the same. We had a voice note a little bit earlier on from a listener suggesting that for as long as more people are losing, are watching, even if you're just losing, for as long as more people are watching and there may be more advertisers, you must get paid more. It seems like the very opposite of do better that we get raised with. And I think it's quite disingenuous to suggest that viewership is just a matter of turning on televisions when we already know from the age of 6 or 7 how much more energy, time, attention and investment is paid to cricket and rugby and the like versus the hockeys and the netballs. We know there's an imbalance. And it starts very young. So to suggest that when we turn on the TV, it just happens to be what it happens to be, is to negate, I think, the biases that exist in sport and in society. And so we're talking today about the pay gap between men and women professional athletes in South Africa. It's so wide, you would think that they were playing completely different sports. And today we'll take a particular focus on soccer. But seeing as it was raised a little bit earlier on, I believe that one of the most watched US Opens was the 2018 final between Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams, which beat the men's final by 50% on ratings. So, Mike, if we're talking about spectator, I don't know. So let's talk a little bit about that. I'm really excited to welcome Romani Pinnock, who is the founder of Badgers Football Academy, which happens to focus on women's football, and Carl Lewis, head of content at bets.co.za, who's on the line with us this morning. Thank you both for joining us for the Wednesday panel.
Thank you.
Romani, maybe you can give us some perspective on having established the Badgers Football Academy. Tell us a little bit about it and why it matters so much.
So I know the focus here was the pay gap, but I think in order to get to a point of professionalizing football and earning those salaries, you have to look a bit further back in the process, which is how do you encourage a girl to, first of all, fall in love with football or any sport for that matter, and give her a professional pathway, which ideally ends in some sort of equal pay end goal. So, I mean, Badgers, we focus on grassroots football. We want more girls and women playing football. We aren't interested in skill level yet at that point. We're looking at how do we make someone fall in love with a sport.
Sure.
And not just to create professional players, but to develop people. So we like to say, yes, we're going to develop your technical skills, but how about developing you as a person, as making you more resilient, which makes you more employable at the end, whether it's in sports or elsewhere, which maybe makes you be the person one day who says, hi, I'd like to be paid the same as a man, because you've been given that strength growing up, being part of a sporting community, that resilience.
Fair enough. Carl Lewis on the line. Let's get down to the brass tacks, which is, of course, what bet.co.za focuses on. Is being a better person, doing well, winning, being an AFCON champion, more important than the eyeballs that are on you when you lose your World Cup qualifier? Good morning.
Morning, Rufiwe.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What are your thoughts on what should matter in terms of how sports athletes are paid?
What should matter? I think, obviously, winning. It is professional sport. That's important. And Banyana, if we look at them, they seem to have got that waxed. So that's point number one, which I feel is very important. And then also kind of, I feel the emotion and the support that kind of built up throughout the AFCON, and the role they play within the nation. I think that's important. But at the end of the day, I think, the pragmatic side of me knows that it all comes down to sponsorship and it all comes down to broadcast numbers. And I would love to see SuperSport stats over this Moroccan AFCON, because I actually think the the stats will surprise many of us. I think there was a lot of interest and there was a lot of eyeballs. And I would love to actually see the stats there, because I think worldwide, there's been women's sport. And if we look at women's football, there's been insane growth. We look at the attendance for the Euro final. That was a record attendance for both men and women.
Sure.
And there was record numbers, in the UK watching that. And then you go back to Barcelona and Real Madrid. They're obviously two storied clubs, but their women football clubs, they garnered 91,000 fans in Barcelona's stadium, the Camp Nou. So all the numbers are trending right. Now I just feel brands, sponsorships need to get creative, because there's so many good stories to tell. I just need to look at the Banyana team. Each and every one of them has a story that's worth 20, 30 minutes of your time. And I think if Safa had the foresight, they could really leverage off this amazing stories that the women have and the journeys to reaching the AFCON.
I think the point about winning is quite an interesting one that's been made here with Carl. Romani, maybe you can help me understand this, because you're an MA student, FIFA MA student. Maybe you can give us a bit more insight. But if we had to control for gender, for example, I can imagine that the viewership for the Proteas doesn't look like it did several years ago. Just the idea of winning, right, eventually, versus what you would have compared to the Springboks. Mm. So what is it about football that has justified, I would say, Bafana Bafana's higher pay, would you say?
So I don't think it's justified.
but they've managed to secure it.
Our sponsorship drives football and many sports. But I think, like Carl says, you know, let's see those stats in a gendered way. Often we don't collect gendered stats. Mm. Let's see what they look like and build strategies around in growing them, doing what we need to do for sponsors to feel encouraged to put their money there. Because at the moment, I mean, women's football is in the limelight. It's definitely everyone saying, yes, I support women's football. Let's see what you're actually doing. Is it, you know, are you doing what you need to do in terms of data collection? Are you looking at what that sponsorship could, are you forecasting it? Men's football was at this stage at some point.
Yes.
So we're just at a different point in the graph in terms of that growth, that revenue. How do we get there more effectively? How do we get there quicker? I think it's doable. You can model it. You know, it's not rocket science. So, yes, the woman might be behind in pay at the moment, but we can definitely get there. And if we do say we're doing equal pay right now, and you have to live through a dip, through a loss, but you forecast it and you know where it's going, then what's the problem? You're going to catch up.
I'm curious to know, after the break, we need to go to traffic, but from both of you, what your perspectives are on the ecosystem that needs to exist. So it's not just about paying the national team a lot, but we have UEFA, Premier, so many different leagues for men. That is the private sector part where sponsors can make the most money, where merchandising can actually turn into return. I'd be curious to know what more we'd need in terms of ecosystem for support, all the way back to training from a very young age. And as you say, Romani, introducing people to the sport in the first place. Back to Wednesday panel, we're talking about professionalizing sport, particularly in light of the recent success of the women's South African national soccer team, and we're trying to sort of put a spotlight on football itself, because so many different sports work in completely different ways. I'm in the studio with Romani Pinnock, who is the founder of Badges Football Academy, and herself an MA at FIFA, FIFA MA, excuse me, and a student, and Carl Lewis on the line, who is our correspondent on Sports Showdown every Friday, but also the head of content at bet.co.za. Welcome back to this segment of the show. So I wanted to share with you some of the WhatsApps that we're getting from listeners, some thoughts maybe here. Rufilo is, and of course, Carl, I did put to you as well the question around the ecosystem that's required. Our listeners have some thoughts here, saying, Rufilo, is Safa saying that they have separate budgets for men and women's soccer? Are they unable to cross-subsidize and look at what they pay their officials? Please go ahead, Romani.
So, interestingly, there are ring-fenced funds that come in specifically for women's football and football development. You might not necessarily see within their financial reports, you know, where that's specifically gone for a ring-fenced women's development area of work. But there are multiple grants from FIFA, also through CAF, specifically for women's football. I am not sure if we apply for all of them and spend them all, or spend them all effectively, but it's all falls within FIFA's strategy to grow women's football. So there is a tap to be opened there in terms of
certainly
money.
And your perspective on that, Carl?
Just on the funding, I know that SAFA obviously spends a lot more on the men's game, but with a couple of sponsors coming on board for the Women's Super League.
Yes.
That's actually underway as we speak. More and more money's coming into the game. But I do think the one positive about, or the one thing we can be optimistic about, and Romini touched on it earlier, is that soccer's also been in this place where women's football is, like even rugby for that matter. In 1995, it wasn't a professional sport.
Mm.
So we've seen the men's game growth. And, you know, with capitalism's insatiable need for growth, women's sport is the next frontier and the next area. And I'm almost certain you'll see loads of investment coming through the years. I'm not sure if it how much it will be, but I just know that women's sport is the new focus and the new area for actual growth. We need new capitalism's always looking for new revenue streams.
True.
And I feel women's sport is ripe for that. Hopefully it can be done in the right manner and swiftly, but that's the one thing that keeps me optimistic. How big can the actual Premier League get?
Yeah.
You know, it's already a behemoth. That's why I think other areas will be focused on to grow the women's game. And you're seeing that in European football.
Indeed. And out of interest, I mean, one thing that Carl and I often speak about on the sports show, Don Romini, is the increasingly influential role of Middle Eastern money in sport, right? Whether it be on the golf side of things or in football, and almost making it exclusive, Carl, in some ways, and opening up, I suppose, an opportunity for this fresh wave, this new frontier. What are your thoughts about that?
That's a very difficult question. Middle Eastern money in football. It's so controversial at the moment. You know, I think women's football really needs all the investment it can get. But that question of what money, which monies are good monies is so right. Tricky. And does football need to even take good money, you know?
I'm just, never mind, sorry, not even the moralizing it, but just the idea that they are super leagues that they can easily buy, right? Yeah.
I mean, a lot of success in women's football in South Africa is coming through Sasol, Hollywood Bets now. You know, so what's the difference? If Middle Eastern money were to say, we're going to create an amazing women's league here, it's needed. So whether it's Hollywood Bets or you know, a wealthy individual somewhere, you can definitely find all the pros in that, and then just hopefully manage it in a way that still grows the sport effectively. I just want to add something to Carl's capitalism. Basically, you know, I often toy with this question, like, is football obliged to create social impact? You know, it is just a business, but should we still be focusing on its potential to create social change? And the women's game feels quite different at the moment. It still feels quite focused on doing good, on you know, the fans are often different. It's a family game. And yes, capitalism is going to sink its teeth into this because it's growing. But my question, and I don't have an answer for it, is how do we keep it as a socially or impact-driven sport still? Are there enough people with the strength to keep it going in the right direction while capitalism grows it?
Right. I wonder, Carl, if you have an attempt at an answer to that.
Oh, I feel that sport in South Africa will always have an impact at grassroots level, at community level. I think it's just, it's almost a natural offset of sport in South Africa. So I feel as much as, you know, at the highest level, let's talk about the men's PSL DStv Premiership. You know, the money that the players are earning are insane. I still think football still has a big impact on at grassroots level and within our communities that love football. So I always feel, sport is, not only because Madiba said it, but I just think in South Africa, it will always play a role, in communities and socially.
Well, around the world.
And will always have a social impact.
Around the world. I mean, one can be in a small sort of divisional town of Nigeria and find a Man U sweater. You know, and
there we go.
You know what? Or Brazil, in the favelas of Brazil. I think that the beautiful game will always have that impact. A few more questions from our listeners here, and then I have a controversial one for the both of you. Morning, Grifila. I think there should be a base salary for both men's and women's teams for the same sport. Anything extra should come from sponsorships and everything else. In this way, I think it will be more clear to people where the bias and discrepancy is coming from. Somebody else says, Refula, national teams are different from private sports. For example, both male and female national cricket teams should earn the same. But for example, T20 in India, a female cricket player can't earn the same as a male if the TV viewership is millions of times more. And then finally, someone else says, spectator appeal and performance are two different things. The Soweto Derby keeps selling out when it has been stale for the past decade. There will be bars filled with people cheering their teams and drowning their sorrows, guaranteed. A rational person would even think this is a toxic behavior. I agree with the sentiment that it's entertainment. I played club rugby and trained like and with pros, but our club could not generate as much as a professional team. With that said, does not justify lowballing the talent. Any thoughts on those? Romani, I'll leave it to you first.
Sure. I agree with the national teams versus private league sentiment. It's a tricky one. But I also think anything someone decides to market, we can sell. I mean, that's human behavior.
That's the behavior. Point here, is the intent. The idea of just capping an IPL woman's salary before she's even gotten out the gates just seems like the wrong attitude.
Yeah.
I'll give you the final word here, Carl. And I'd love for you guys to comment on this in light of what is increasingly a blurring gender line in sport. You know, this might become a moot point at some point. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts with regards to the payment or?
And maybe final thoughts.
Just on the payment thing, for me, I know that the broadcast money underpins anything, but it's very disheartening to hear one of the Hollywood Bet Super League owners from the My Indies team. Some of their players get R1,000 a month, and they just make sure that they pay transport and they buy them sanitary pads. Now, for me, for a supposed, not professional league, but our elite league for women's football, that's very sad to hear. And while, I mean, some of our men's footballers are earning 750,000 rand a month. So for me, that disparity needs to be closed and we need to not even think about the broadcast money there. I just think it's basics that we need to take care of our players who are feeding our national team. So that's very disheartening. But like I said, I'm optimistic about where women's sport is at the moment. There is some real sponsorship. Romani mentioned Sasol, mentioned Hollywood Bets. Mm-hmm. The momentum with the women's Proteas, although they're not doing well, but since momentum has come on board, the women's Proteas have come on leaps and bounds. I mean, they can compete with the world's best, although it hasn't been a good tour of England. But I'm just saying I am optimistic about what the future holds. I just hope our sports administrators are doing it authentically and doing it with the right ideas in mind.
I think so. It's nice to hear both of you very optimistic about where we're headed. Hopefully we move further on in that chart. I am out of time, unfortunately, for today's Wednesday panel, and so grateful for your perspectives, both of you. Romani Penek is founder of Badgers Football Academy, and Carl Lewis is the head of content at bet.co.za, as well as our contributor for the Sports Showdown. Thank you both for your sporting expertise.